Is the true king. That's our big point for this morning. It might not always look like that. In fact, as we'll see in our Bible story, it often doesn't look like that. But that's the truth. Jesus is the true king. So, if you're normally in minis when you come on a Sunday morning, so you're 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6 years old, that kind of thing, do you think you could shout that back to me in a nice loud voice? Jesus is the true king. Do you think you could do that? Do you think you might need the help of some people from Club Central to make it loud enough? I think you might need. So let's have younger folks, top of your voices, because remember, big room, lot of people. We're going to say, Jesus is the true king. 1, 2, 3. You can do better than that. The only voice I heard was Andy Stavell's, and he is definitely over 6. Right. Come on, kids. Let's do it. Right. I'll give you a countdown again. 1, 2, 3. Jesus is the true king. Emily, well done. So it's good. We're getting there. I might test you on that a bit later. What we're going to do is look at the story of Jesus and the events leading up to his death, and especially his conversation with the Roman ruler who sentenced him to death, a man called Pilate. And we're going to see that the story of Jesus' crucifixion is actually the story of Jesus' coronation, to use Jasmine's big long word from a minute ago. And John, who wrote these things down for us, tells us that over and over again. So much so that it is worth us keeping track of just how many times John talks about kings and kingdoms and crowns and that sort of thing. So I need a volunteer, and it needs to be somebody who's good at listening and good at counting. Anybody think they can do those things? Any children fancy this little job? I can see a few have already maybe volunteered for stuff. Or answered a question. It's going to be the Jasmine and Hannah show if we're not careful. Hannah, why don't you come up? I reckon you can do this job for me. You're probably good at listening. You're good at counting. What I want you to do is be our king counter for this morning. So I want you to stand. There's a little bit of space on the stage just here in front of me. Brilliant. Turn and face the people. Hold up this. So at the moment, our king count is on 0 because we've not read any of the Bible so far, have we? Right, what Hannah's going to do, and you're going to help her to check that she does it correctly, is whenever one of our readers reads out a word that is something to do with being a king, so it might be king or kingdom or crown or something like that, all you need to do, Hannah, is just drop the top bit of paper and that'll move the count on by 1. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay, brilliant, you've got it. Okay, so everyone else, if you're not Hannah, I want you to grab a Bible and find John chapter 18, verse 28. Kids, if the grown-ups near you are struggling to find it, you might want to help them. It's on page 1090. And whilst you're finding it, I want my first two readers, so that's James and Jemima, to come out to the front. Right, you two stand here and here. Brilliant. So, don't let me just move my bit of paper, see if you've got yours. So, John chapter 18. Everyone got it? Here's what's going to happen. I am going to read verses 28 to 32, which kind of set the scene for us. Then James is going to read verses 33 to 38, and Jemima's going to read from there up to verse 40. And we're all going to follow along, and we're going to be on the lookout for any king stuff that comes out, so we can check that Hannah's doing her job properly, okay? Now, there isn't any in my bit, Hannah, so when I'm talking, don't zone out, but you don't need to worry about dropping any bits of paper. When James starts, though, you've got to get ready, okay? Okay, everyone got it? Follow along in your Bibles. Kids, help the grown-ups to do so. So, then they, that's the Jewish leaders, led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show what kind of death he was going to die.
So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. "What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are the king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?"
After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "This is not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber.
Great. James and Jemima, you can go and sit down. Thank you very much. Right, I can't see because my light doesn't go around corners. So somebody tell me, what's Hannah's king count on? Seven. Do we think she's got it right? Good. Hannah, you're doing a great job. Well done. So already John is making his big point pretty clear, isn't he? And what's his big point? Let's shout it out, everybody, especially the minis in Club Central. Brilliant. It's an amazing conversation, this, between Jesus and Pilate. Pilate, basically, is the most powerful man for like 100 miles around. He's in charge. He's running the show. It's up to him to decide if Jesus lives or dies. But in this conversation, Jesus wants Pilate to rethink who's really in charge. So what I want you to do is just close your eyes for a minute, and we're going to use our imaginations. I want you to imagine that scene. So picture in your mind Pilate. He's an important Roman governor, so he's probably got some smart, fancy robes, that kind of thing. So you've got him in your mind. And then next to him, picture Jesus. Now, he's a prisoner, so his hands are tied up. His clothes are probably pretty rough. He's been up all night. He's been beaten up already by the guards. Now, in the picture you're imagining, who looks like the powerful one? Shout it out. Pilate, that's right. He looks much more like a king. But who's the true king? That's right. Does Pilate see it? No, he doesn't. He doesn't. So Jesus is explaining to Pilate that he's no ordinary king. He's not come with soldiers to take the throne by force. His kingdom's not of this world. It's from somewhere else. It's God's kingdom, and Jesus is God's king. And he came into the world to tell people that he was their king, to tell them that truth, to tell them that Jesus is... Great. Kids, the grown-ups are drowning you out here. I'm looking for much more volume from the under-10s. Anyway, Pilate won't have it. It doesn't suit him to accept that Jesus is the King of Kings. What is truth, he says, and that's that. Jesus says he's the king, and Pilate doesn't believe him. So we're going to see what happens next. I need my next reader, that's Reuben. Where's Reuben? To come out to the front. And everybody else, Bibles at the ready. We're going to follow along in chapter 19. Hannah, fingers at the ready to keep count. Yeah, you happy? I'm looking for a nod. Still happy? Good. Brilliant. So what's going to happen is Reuben is going to read the first 6 verses, and then I'm going to take over and read up to the end of verse 11. And once again, Hannah, there's no king stuff in my bit, so don't zone out, but really your counting's for whilst we're doing Reuben's bit, okay? Right, everybody ready? Reuben, off you go.
Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him."
Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he's made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin. Great, Reuben, you can go and sit down. Hannah, how many, what are we on now, or somebody else? 9. Now, I reckon we probably could have had a couple of more, more there, because did we include the crowns? How many times did crown come up? Anybody remember? 2. Right, drop another one. And we reckon, I mean, this isn't your fault because I didn't clue you in on this, but I reckon we could also have included the purple robe, because that's something that a king wore. How many times did the purple robe come up? So we'll drop twice. It came up twice. That's 1, 2. So what are we up to now? 12. John is making a big deal of this, isn't he? He's really hammering home his point. And what's his point? That's right, that's right. So the soldiers are pretending that Jesus is a king, but what they don't know is that actually putting a crown and a robe on Jesus is actually totally right, because he is a king, and this is his coronation. They even speak to him like a king. Hail, King of the Jews! And they think it's a joke, but we know it's the truth, because Jesus is the true king. What else is going on in this bit? Well, one of the other things that keeps coming up is the fact that Jesus is innocent, and Pilate knows it. It was actually in Jemima's section as well. So kids, help your parents to find it in verse 38 of chapter 18. See if you can point them with it, with your finger. I find no guilt in him, verse 38 of chapter 18. And again, it was in verse 4 that Reuben read. Point to it for the grown-ups, kids. I find no guilt in him. And again, in verse 6 that I read. I find no guilt in him. So, answer me this. Had Jesus done anything wrong, anything to deserve death? No, he hadn't, had he? And once again, Pilate says more than he knows, because it's not just that Jesus wasn't guilty of the crime he was accused of. He wasn't guilty of anything, nothing at all. He was perfect and sinless. He never lied or stole or deliberately hurt someone else, things that we can't even get through a week without doing. Isn't that amazing? Isn't Jesus amazing? Now, I don't think Pilate knew that about Jesus, but he definitely knew that it was wrong to have Jesus killed. And when the Jewish leaders tell him that Jesus had claimed to be the Son of God, Pilate gets really scared, doesn't he? I mean, just pause for 10 seconds and think about why that might be. Why would Pilate be scared when he hears that Jesus had claimed to be the Son of God? Just have a think. Do you know what I reckon? I reckon it's because he's worried it might be true. He doesn't really believe it. But what if Jesus is the Son of God and Pilate kills him? I mean, that is pretty bad news for Pilate, right? So is Pilate going to change direction? Will he decide to have Jesus released? Well, you probably know the answer, but we're going to listen to the last bit of our reading, how John tells the story. So I need my last two readers, Jacob and Martha, to come up to the front. Hannah, are you ready for some more king counting? Brilliant. So we're looking for, yeah, king, kingdom, anything like that. We'll see what we get to. We'll see if I've printed out enough bits of paper. That'd be embarrassing if I hadn't, wouldn't it? Right, Martha, you're up first. Everybody ready to follow along? John 19, verse 12.
From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Anyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat of the place called the Stone Pavement in Aramaic Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered them over to them to be crucified.
So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written."
Brilliant. Thank you once again, Jacob and Martha. You can go and sit down. Right, Hannah, let's have a look. What are we up to?
19.
People in the room, do we agree with Hannah's counting? Good work. Well done, Hannah. Let's give everybody, all the children who've taken part, a clap. You can go and sit down. You can go and sit down as well. So what did we get up to? 19. 19 times John has talked about king stuff. He must think it's a really big deal. And it is, because his main point is, all together now. Brilliant. But Pilate still doesn't get it. He still won't act on it. His actions in this bit of the story are amazing, aren't they? He knows Jesus is innocent, so he tries to set him free. But, you know, the Jews tell him in verse 12 that he has to punish Jesus or he's going against Caesar, the Roman emperor, Pilate's top boss. He even tells the Jews that Jesus is their king in verse 14. In Reuben's bit, when he brought Jesus out to show them in verse 5, he said, "Behold the man." But in Martha's bit, he said, "Behold your king," verse 14. And he even tells the whole world that Jesus is the king. He has this sign written to go on the cross that says in several languages that Jesus is the king of the Jews. And he won't even change it to say, "Oh, he only claims to be the king of the Jews." But none of that stuff matters in the end. Because in the end, Pilate decides to kill the king to save himself. If he'd released Jesus, there would have been a riot, there'd have been all kinds of trouble. But if he has Jesus crucified, well, the problem goes away. So that's the kind of, other than Jesus is the true king, if you're a little bit older than, say, 5, there's two other things that I want us to understand from this morning, and this is the first one. Pilate kills the king to save himself. You understand that that's what's going on? He thinks it is better for him if Jesus isn't in charge. It's better for him if Jesus goes away. It's better for him if Jesus dies. And do you know what? I reckon we are all a bit like Pilate some of the time. Even though we might suspect or even believe that Jesus is the true king, we don't always live that way. We think we know best. We think that things will go better for us if we don't follow Jesus as king, if we keep him out, shut him up, kill him off. We do it in lots of ways. We lie, we cheat, we say wrong things to other people or about other people. We disobey our parents, we are selfish and unloving. And that's pretty terrible, isn't it? You know, every day we're kind of put in Pilate's position. Will we serve the true king or kill the true king? And even as Christians, some of the time we make wrong choices. That's why we confessed our sin together earlier. And that's why there's one more thing that we've all got to understand this Good Friday morning. So while Pilate kills the king to save himself, Jesus becomes the king by dying to save us. What's going on through this whole story is that Jesus is following God's plan to save people by dying in their place. And there's a few kind of little hints sprinkled in to show us that that's the case. So, for example, Barabbas. Do you remember him? Yeah, he was in Jemima's section. Can anybody tell me what happened to Barabbas? Hands up, kids. Anybody remember what happened to him? Yes, other Hannah. They set him free. That's right. Barabbas was a robber. He deserved to be punished. But he was set free and Jesus was punished instead. Jesus was innocent. He was punished. Barabbas was guilty. He was set free. It's like a swap had happened. Or another example. John kept talking about the Passover, didn't he? Do you remember those references? Can anybody tell me what the Passover is all about? Yeah, Nathan. Being saved from being slaves in Egypt. Brilliant, that's a great answer. So at the Passover, the Jews had this celebration to remember what God did to save them from slavery in Egypt. He did it by telling them to kill a lamb and to smear its blood around their door so that when God judged the Egyptians and killed the firstborn sons, the Israelites would be safe. What happened at the Passover is that, or the first Passover, is that a lamb died instead of a person. And that's what's going on Good Friday. Jesus is, he's our Passover. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who dies our death in our place to set us free. Or one more example. the crown of thorns. Do you remember that? That was in Reuben's reading. And in the Bible, thorns are kind of like a picture of God's punishment for sin, of the curse that came when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. So when Jesus wears a crown of thorns, he's not just becoming our king, he's also bearing our curse instead of us to save us from it. Jesus becomes our king by dying to save us. That's why Good Friday is good. We're all a bit like Pilate. We all reject Jesus as our king. And so we all need to be forgiven and saved. We all need to trust in Jesus, who was punished instead of us, cursed instead of us, killed instead of us. And in this great swap that is at the heart of the Easter story, God can now look at anybody who trusts in Jesus and say the words of Pilate, "I find no guilt in him." That's what God says to you if you're a Christian this morning because of what Jesus did. "I find no guilt in him or her." What a great king we have. What a great saviour. What a great day this is. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, be quiet and pray. In the book of Hebrews it says this: Jesus was crowned with glory and honour because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the true king. Thank you that you rule the world. Please help us to trust that, even when it doesn't look like it. We're sorry that sometimes we're like Pilate and we don't want you as our king. We don't want to follow your ways and trust your plans. Please forgive us. And thank you that you died to save us, taking our punishment so that we could go free and so that we could be part of your kingdom, which goes on forever and ever. Amen. Great. In a minute, we're going to celebrate what Jesus, our king, has done for us by eating and drinking some things that remind